May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. So doubt is a funny thing, right? And it's that very thing, doubt, which the lectionary would have us to grapple with year after year on this Sunday after Easter. Or at least that's how the story of Thomas has always been categorized, a story of doubt and little else. I heard a radio program a while back, and thanks those who are friends with me on Facebook, I got a little help because I couldn't remember where I heard it, and somebody gave me the link, which was perfect because I didn't want to misconstrue the data. But at any rate, this radio program talked about a study that had been conducted in the 1950s by a researcher named Solomon Ash, and it's called the Ash Conformity Studies. And in this study, there was a naive participant who went in, just average Joe, and there was a set of math questions or problems that they would have to answer. So there was the naive person, and there were a group of a handful of plants, not plants like green plants, but plants who had been planted in the study. And those people, let's say the question was, what's 40 plus 40? Well, those people would all say, it's 100. It's 100. And they were sure of it. Now, what was really shocking was that about a third of the time, that naive person, after hearing that everyone else said that 40 plus 40 was 100, about a third of the time, they would agree, you're right. You're right. So the findings of the Ash study, like I said, about a third of the time, that naive person would agree with the group. And they did it over the course of 12 trials. And over the course of 12 trials, about 75% of participants agreed with the wrong answer during the course of it, at least once. So there are a few takeaways from this that I glean. First of all, that doubt is somewhat of a human tendency. When others are all saying, you know, 40 plus 40 is 100, naturally we might doubt our skills of addition. Might doubt other things, actually, but at any rate, doubt is a fundamentally human quality. When we are surrounded by naysayers and when we are surrounded by misinformation, it can sometimes be hard to hold fast to what we know in our heart of hearts is true. And what's more, and perhaps more pertinent to today's gospel, when Solomon Ash, the researcher, interviewed the participants afterward and said, why did you go along with the wrong answer, knowing good and well that it was incorrect? They said that they had given the wrong answer because they did not want to be the odd one out. They did not want to be seen as the weirdo or the peculiar person in the group. So in this sense, their fear of being different outweighed their fear of being wrong. So to me, Thomas is this wonderful character in our resurrection narrative who so often gets maligned for his doubt. He refuses to go along with the groupthink. He refuses to accept the story that he's been told about the resurrection from others. And instead, he feels as though he needs proof. In other words, he wants to use his own reasoning, his own five senses, to make sense of the resurrection that has occurred. And so for these many centuries, we've dubbed him Doubting Thomas. And in a sense, I think Thomas has become almost like a caricature of himself, right? That's the one thing we know about him was his doubt, or that's one thing that we remember about him. However, I wonder if it might be a gift for us to realize that it is okay for us to have questions. And beyond that, it is okay for us to connect the dots, to use our reasoning, to use our senses, to make sense of what has happened to Jesus. Can we make sense of things in our own time and in our own seasons without necessarily taking someone else's word for it? It seems, in a way, that it's important to let ourselves be transformed on a personal level by what we experience when we meet the living Christ. I went to college in New York City, and I have distinct memories of street preachers. If you've been to New York City or any other major metropolitan area, you've probably encountered these sorts of folks, and God bless them, but they do their best to try to sort of knock you over the head with their account of the good news, and then be somewhat offended if you don't have a full-on conversion right there on the street corner. Well, for starters, their good news often involves a lot of fear and a lot of condemnation. And what's more, in my experience, there's a willingness to talk, but there's not always a willingness to listen. And I think street preacher, or me, this preacher, we all fall into those traps from time to time. We all take that kind of my way or the highway mentality. But in this world where we have taken this my way or the highway approach, I think Thomas offers us something quite different. He offers us something that is a little more tender and a little more true. Because in a sense, he represents vulnerability when he says, I don't know. I need to think about this. I need to see proof. He represents that vulnerable place of being unsure and uncertain. And in response to that vulnerability, Jesus meets Thomas also in a deep state of vulnerability. Meets him by opening his hands and revealing his side and saying, here, touch these places where I have experienced pain. Touch these places where I have experienced sorrow. In John's account of the disciples, there is a lot of fear, and we hear that those disciples aren't just sort of milling about or loafing around, but they are huddled together. They are huddled together. But Jesus does what Jesus often does, and he interrupts that fear. If you recall, he says to them not once, but twice, peace. Peace I give to you. Shalom. The ASH study, the conformity study, represents for me the fear that all of us carry inside of us of being different or being an outlier. We don't want to be that. But here's the thing. It is profoundly and deeply countercultural to say, I'm a witness to the resurrection, to go against the grain, to be willing to put yourself out there, to be an outlier when you have seen and experienced the living Christ. So that's our human nature, is to fear and to worry. But then in this gospel, we encounter something of God's nature too. God's nature is to say peace. God's nature is to say, yes, I've been wounded, and here's the proof. But keep in mind that this woundedness is not the end of my story. So thanks be to Thomas this morning, who used his voice to ask holy questions. Thanks be to God, who uses Christ and uses Christ's wounds and hurting places and sorrows to produce in us holy understandings. And thanks be to each of you right here in this room. I'm going to say to you the same thing that I said to our children at 9:15. Your questions are holy. Your questions are profound, and it's a vulnerable thing to bring your questions to this space. And I pray that as you do that, you are met with the love, and you are met with the life-giving power of God, who sees you in your vulnerability and who responds to you with open hands. Amen.